Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Rugby League Review. This week, we are pleased to be joined by Challenge Cup winner and try scorer on the day, Harry Smith. Harry, how are you, mate?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Cheers for joining us, Harry. So what we like to do, just to start off with, is to get a feel of our guests' route into Rugby League. So what was your route into Rugby League?
So started when I was about 4 or 5, taken down to my local amateur team by my dad, who he played for Halton Farth Hornets, to the summer school that they have every year to get kids involved. And then just went from there, really. Played for Halton from the age of 6 to 15. And then, unfortunately, the team folded, so I had to move to Wigan St Jude's. Did 1 year there, and then into the Wigan Academy. And then from there on to first team, etc. Yeah, here today, yeah.
Obviously, you mentioned that you moved into the first team, but you were a massive part of the Wigan Academy system, and obviously 3 grand final wins, that must have been good.
Yeah, definitely. I was very lucky whilst I was in the academy, being some great sides. And being able to win all 3 was a massive achievement for Wigan and the academy and what they were trying to do and are still doing. So, yeah, academy was a great time for me, a lot of learning, and which helped me coming into the first team.
Mm-hmm. Now you say that the academy is a great system at Wigan. How good is this academy, obviously, being coming through it yourself?
Yeah, just the way, the details that they go into for lads at such a young age, but expecting stuff back from you as well, I feel, is what helps us develop. And I feel just probably the training sessions are just that, probably a bit intenser than other ones that I find when you speak to lads who've been at other clubs, and that helps you definitely during games at that level. And then especially when you move up to the first team training, then the intensity goes up again and you can't be left behind, or you're a burden, or you just won't make the cut. So, yeah, I feel that's what it was. Mm-hmm.
So obviously, you've won 3 grand finals with the academy, and then you make the step up to the first team. What was that feeling when you got the call, effectively, for your first appearance?
Yeah, a bit different one. I was told by Adrian Lamb that I'd be 18th man and might have a chance if there was an injury, which I can't remember what play it was holding a niggle. And if he couldn't get through, I'd be playing. And I think it was team run, the play, I can't remember it was, just pulled up, and then he called to me and just said, "You'll be on the bench." So, in a way, I think it sort of helped me not having so many, like, loads of days to dwell on it and overthink things. And then when I got on, I think I got about 15, 20 minutes, and Wigan were on top, and I managed to get a try, which was obviously brilliant and the cherry on top of the cake. But yeah, I just remember being not overwhelmed, but just trying to enjoy the moment on the bench and with the crowd, and then getting on, just trying to do my thing, my little bit for the team, and managed to do some things, some decent things. So it was a positive debut all round, really.
We have plenty of guests on. Is the debut game is one that you really look back on when your career's ended more than now, obviously, and you look back on it thinking how well it went and how successful you were in the game. Obviously, grabbing the try must have been an amazing moment.
Yeah, definitely, to be able to hear the fans do a massive roar for yourself was really good. And to be able to do it with, when I played, there were some lads who I've come through the academy with and who we now play, most of us play together now, week in, week out. But to be able to do it with some of them and some people that I watched growing up, being able to do it alongside them was just a surreal moment and one that I'm very grateful for.
Mm-hmm. And end of the 2019 season, you got the call up for the England Knights against Jamaica. That must have been a special, playing for England at any level is always special for any player.
Yeah, definitely. A bit of an unexpected one that year. Obviously, making my debut, played quite a few games at Swinton. And yeah, it was a bit out of the blue, a phone call off Paul Anderson asking me to play, and I was 100% going to say yes, no matter what. Yeah, and it was just, again, like, just learning experiences, just being able to play around different players who, at that time, I probably still are, Super League players, week in, week out, and learning from them of how they go about preparing for games and what they do in certain games and certain situations. So I was just really, again, grateful, and it was a great game. We managed to get the win, so that was a positive.
And obviously, last season, you came into the gate, you got more appearances for the team. Was that something you expected going into that season?
No, probably not. I just wanted to improve on getting a few more games under my belt and getting a bit more experience. But then a few injuries and suspensions went my way, and I managed to break in the team and hold my spot. And then, yeah, it was just it was a decent season experience-wise, and again, learning stuff and getting my body used to the Super League, the whole, however many rounds it is, 24 rounds. So, yeah, it was a decent season for myself, but one that I can look back on as a learning year, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And then I know heading into this season, I'm going to pass over to Josh because I know he's got a couple of questions on you for heading into this season.
Yeah, so obviously after last weekend, you get a look on this season as a positive, but how difficult was it at the start of the season having to break your way back into the side?
Yeah, it was a bit difficult at times, get a bit of frustration, but speaking to the staff and certain players every day, just on about, just keep working hard, keep your head down, be ready, because you never know what might happen in any sport, and managed to get a break and get a few run of games, and managed to hold my spot to get in the final, and yeah, just really positive in the end, and just shows that just never, not the never give up mentality, but just always be there, ready to go, because you never know what might happen.
Yeah, and so you sort of just touched on it there, but was there any sort of thought in your mind of possibly leaving the club? Obviously, it's difficult when you're not playing, but was it more a case of just getting your head down and working and making sure you get back into that side, or was there ever a time where you thought, well, maybe I could look somewhere else?
I think at the start, there was definitely the thought of getting back into the squad, and then there was a point where there was a look of maybe going on loan to another Super League team. But then stuff just sort of worked out, and didn't need that to happen, and I got back in the team. And like I said before, just keep my spot and keep doing what I'm doing, hopefully.
And obviously this season's seen a lot of change with Matt Peake coming in. He's been quite reserved about the job that he's done so far. He's been quite reluctant to take any credit. But I think after this weekend, he can't really turn it down now. He's done a remarkable job, but how have you personally adapted your game since his appointment?
I feel it's with him and the way him and Brazy have come in and looked into the attack and the different ways of attacking and looking at certain situations, how to get through defences. But I've worked with Matty since I was 14. He was head of youth when I signed for the scholarship, and then the head coach during my time in the academy. So I've worked with Matty a lot, and he knows my game well. So I don't feel it was adapting to Matty. It was just trying to do the stuff that we did in the academy and what Brazy brought in and putting it on the Super League stage. And it's worked so far, and hopefully it can continue. But we definitely know that we can and we need to get better if we want more success later on in the year.
Was it quite a nice sort of feeling when he was appointed, because it was someone that knew you and knew your game, and it wasn't someone that you sort of necessarily had to impress as much as someone who didn't know you at all?
Yeah, you could say that. I feel it was a good appointment. You know, Ali knew the club and had been with the club for so long, and he knew what he wanted to do and what he wanted to build on with the culture and the way we wanted us to play. So, yeah, there was definitely positives to the appointment, and yeah, that's all I can say really, yeah.
You've just touched on my next one, but obviously he's mentioned a lot about the culture within the club and the players. Has that had an effect on you personally?
I feel it can do. Me personally, I feel being more positive when stuff goes against you and putting the team first is a massive one that we spoke about. And I feel that's had an effect on me, but I feel it's had an effect on the whole group. Like we spoke about it earlier today in training, how the lads that just missed out on playing, how positive and how well they trained in the week to get the lads ready in the 17 to go and win the game. So, yeah, the culture chat's been massive this season through pre-season to now, and we keep talking about it the whole year through, and that's what comes first, yeah.
And I'll have a look at sort of the past weekend. Obviously, a special weekend for the club and for you personally. Tommy Luluai, obviously his recovery was effectively halved on the time scale anyway. Just how incredible is it to play alongside someone that's got that sort of mentality and that determination to get back fit?
Yeah, you have to put a lot of credit to Tommy for what he'd done over the 6 weeks, I think it was, he ended up getting back for in every day doing his recovery. But just what he brought on the field, that calmness and that leadership, I feel, especially when Cade Cust had to go off. I feel for other teams that could have maybe gone the other way, bit of panic, people moving around, and there was just still a calmer team to the 13 that were on the pitch at the time, and everyone still knew their roles and what we had to do to get down the field to create some chances. So, yeah, it was big for us having Tommy playing, and a credit to him.
And with the final, obviously, being at a different venue this year, what was your sort of opinion on that heading into the game? And has that changed after the event, or was it sort of the same all the way through?
We just spoke about it maybe being a very unique final because we don't know if it'd ever go back there. But I was very impressed with the stadium and the atmosphere that was created. I thought all fans from all four teams that stayed for the game were brilliant. And I know a few lads said that it was a great atmosphere. And they said it's probably the same as Wembley. Maybe could be a bit better. I've never experienced being on the pitch at Wembley, but I've gone as a fan and I was thought it was brilliant. But I think it was a bit different being on the pitch. And yeah, I was really impressed with the stadium and the facilities and what it brought to the game. I thought it was brilliant.
Just going back to the start of the season, I attended the Wigan Warriors media day, I think it was back in January time now. And one thing that was Matt Peake portrayed to the fans was the relationship, building back up that relationship between the club and the fans and the work you do with the community. How big has that been this season, building that relationship back up? Because last season, I wouldn't say it was broke, but it was kind of lost.
Yeah, you could say that. I feel the way Matty spoke saw it to us, well, we all know now how massive it was because how much the fans have got behind us this year and fans coming to games and the way they showed up on the weekend. But yeah, with COVID and all the other things that have gone on to stop that connection, you could say, I think it was massive to try and build that back up. And I feel the work that everyone did in the pre-season, getting into schools, nursing homes, hospitals, what all the stuff that we did was brilliant. And like you said, did create that bond that I feel is massive. And hopefully we can keep building on and getting more fans to games, etc. Because it's what the sport needs.
I think really we can see from the homecoming parade, the turnout for that and the reception you lads got shows that bond has kind of rebuilt now and the attendances are ever growing.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, that homecoming was absolutely fantastic. I know someone told us that we got there a little bit late, but you could see the spirit of the fans was still there and still energised to see us. And it was really wholesome and brilliant for the group to see that. And that's why we do it at the end of the day, for our families and for the fans, to put on a show for them so they can have moments like this and share with us. So, yeah, brilliant.
So just touching on this season, I know Josh mentioned it before. When Cade came in, and you knew it was the partnership at the start of the season was going to be Cade and Tommy. Did Matt speak to you about your role and what he wanted from you?
I think he just touched on it before. Like I didn't get to train a lot in pre-season with having shoulder surgery, and Tommy and Cade got that bond going. And then he just said that I just need to be ready to take my chance and be ready to play with either one of them. And we didn't really talk through my role. No, it was just more being ready and being able to bring the best of me on the field when I get my chance. And I feel that I started a bit slow when I first got a few chances, but then I think we've built it now. Well, it was me and Cade were playing well together, but unfortunately with his injury, stuff's going to change, and hopefully whoever it is that I play alongside, we can keep playing well and keep getting wins.
Obviously, you've just won the Challenge Cup final, Harry. Obviously, congratulations to you and the team. What was it like walking out and hearing the roar from both sets of fans?
Yeah, brilliant. I thought the atmosphere from the start to the finish was just immense. I think someone mentioned the word like the acoustics or something in the stadium that they've created. Just got that different energy, and standing there doing the national anthem was brilliant, hearing that being sung out, and just brilliant.
What was it like to play in front of the Wigan fans? Obviously, they've got passionate support. So,
yeah, very passionate fans, and always bring plenty of energy, especially when we're playing well. And yeah, they're great to be in front of, and like I said before, to be able to bring them some success after not being a bit of success for the last few years is really, really good.
And obviously, you touched on Brazy to Josh. Obviously, he's one of the best halfbacks the Super League has ever seen, really. Has he been like a father figure to you since he has arrived, and what is it like to be coached by him?
Yeah, he's been really really good for me this year, the chats that we have. And he's always teaching me something new after every game. We go through the game and see where I can improve and what we're doing well. Yeah, but I feel the off-the-field stuff as well is brilliant. He's brilliant with everyone. The crack, the banter that we have in the whole group, I feel, is brilliant and brings us together and makes work that extra bit harder for us when we're on the field. So, yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, cheers, mate. Go on, Ethan.
Mm-hmm. So, we mentioned the final, and it was great to get the win. I just want to go back to the semi-final on Elland Road and that victory against Saints, because they're the benchmark team, as Matt keeps saying every time. They're the benchmark team, and they've had the beating of you quite a few times in the past season or so. Getting that win, how big was getting that win, knowing you can match them and get the victory?
Yeah, like you said, it was massive, because they have been the benchmark team over the past 3-4 years, and to be able to go with them and play better than them and show that we can produce that level of performance or intensity for an 80 minutes is really could say give us the confidence to know that we can do stuff this year. And I feel, like I said before, we're always still improving, and if we can just keep doing them things and keep getting better in certain areas, I feel that we can keep getting success against the best teams in the league.
Looking at that game, do you think that game was probably arguably the team's best performance so far this season? The way you completely dominated really the first 40 minutes, could have been ahead and probably should have been ahead by more. And then you knew Saints were going to come back at you, and they did. But then you pushed on again and managed to keep them out and then grab the winner.
Yeah, I feel the opening 40 minutes is probably the best performance of the year, definitely. I feel we produced, everything just clicked in attack. We defended well, put pressure on them. And then, like you said, you just knew they were going to come back, and we sort of let ourselves down a little bit in that first 20 of the second half. Didn't really match the intensity, and they got the rewards. But like you said, the togetherness and the desire to want to win the game and to get that win was massive. And yeah, I feel it was brilliant.
Heading into the game, Saints were big favourites, and some say rightly so, the way they've won the last few seasons. You being underdogs, did that kind of benefit the team, knowing that everyone kind of had written you off? Was that spoken about, or was it just focus on yourself and your own performances?
I feel it was mentioned a little bit, but like you said, it was more to focus on ourselves. And we know playing against most teams or every team, if we do the stuff that we know we can do to the right intensity, that we can go with any team. And yeah, I feel the concentration was more on us producing what we know we can, and hopefully the result will take care of itself, which I feel that we did.
Before we speak about this weekend and the rest of the season, I put out a couple of tweets, tweet on Instagram and ask for some questions for you, Harry. So if it's all right, we could fire some that we sent into you.
Yeah, sure.
No, obviously we know we'll be playing. We want to know what Harry Smith is like off the field. So if you go to, first one was, if you go to one sporting event in the world, what would it be?
Oh, I'd probably say it's either got to be a Masters at golf or some really good football game, including Everton, which is very hard because they're not very good.
So are you into your golf?
Yeah. A few of the lads play. Lee Braze plays. Yeah. So I think that, yeah.
You're gonna reveal your handicap to us?
16, but I can be a lot better or a lot worse than that on some days.
What are you compared to Brazy? I've seen him down the golf club a couple of times.
Yeah, Brazy's a very good player. I think he plays off three, I think. Yeah, me and Joe Shorts went for a game with him early in the season, and he didn't put us to shame, but he was a little bit better than us, let's say.
Is there any other lads that play?
Me, Shorrocks, Ollie Partington, Ethan Havard used to have a go. Cade Ellis is getting involved. Cade Cusk said he might jump on the back. So, yeah, there's a good little 5-6 group of lads, yeah.
And you mentioned Everton there. You know I'm a Liverpool fan. Do you get to Gunnison very often?
I used to go. I used to try and get like 5 games in. But since COVID, I've not been able to go. But I feel I might just save it till the new stadium, because if we keep playing like we are, I'm not really very happy, I don't think. So, yeah. But hopefully I can try and get to some games next season. And definitely when that new stadium's open, I'll get down there as well.
Mm-hmm. Another question. If you weren't a rugby player, what would you be?
Ooh.
Or was it just rugby? Was that the main aim?
Yeah, it was a lot of rugby, but it'd be something to do with sport. Or my mum always said that she fancied me as a PE teacher, so I'll go with one of them too.
Were you at school, sports, PE?
Yeah, definitely sports. Maybe a bit of no. I'll just stick with sports. No point going for anything else.
Another one. Which player do you look up growing up?
Ooh, I think Thurston. Jonathan Thurston was when I got into watching rugby and understanding the game as a halfback. He was the best halfback, I think, in the world at the time. So just watching stuff of him and the goal, the way he used the goal kick and the big bend that he's got on it. So I'd go with Thurston.
Do you watch rugby? I know a lot. We've had a few players on here who play the game but don't watch it. Are you into your NRL and your Super League? Do you watch that if it's on TV?
Yeah, I will. If a game's on and I've got nothing else to do, I will watch. But I'm not obsessed with watching the game. But no, I'm into my rugby, and I'll get, if there's a game on that I'm interested in watching, I'll watch. But especially NRL, that the level of competition over there and the athletes they've got out there and the way they play is brilliant. So yeah, I've got time for a bit of rugby. Yeah.
Just a final on this segment. Wigan aside, which is your favourite ground to play at? Which away ground do you like going to?
Ooh, Leeds Stadium's very good with the atmosphere. Hull KR's fans are really good, but I don't think you can beat a Saints away game. The atmosphere there is brilliant. When both fans fill it out, it's very good. Very good atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so going to the head of the season. So we mentioned earlier, Matt Peat's coming. Can you really pinpoint what has changed? What has he changed in the team that has ultimately seen your success so far this season?
I feel it's definitely got to be the attacking side of the game. Just having more, as you could say, like eyes up and taking more opportunities and backing ourselves, having the confidence to see something and go for it and not just take the easy option. I feel that's something that's been a big part of our success so far.
Mm-hmm. One thing I did see when on that media day is the togetherness within the group. You know, is that something that has been built this season, or has that always been there? Or is it like tighter this season, the way?
No, I definitely feel it's tighter this season. The bond that's built than the past previous years. Obviously, them teams have been strong and had good lads in them, but I feel that there's just a different feel about this group, and everyone gets along and is willing to wear that extra bit hard during training and on the field to try and give the best performance.
And just looking at the final, and you just mentioned something then about sort of confidence and in the attacking play. 3 minutes from time in that final. If that happens last season, do you play that pass genuinely?
I'd hope so, but no, I don't know. It's hard to say if I would have done it last year, but like I just said, the confidence that he has in us and the whole team and the way we practice to do these things give me the confidence to do it. And yeah, I feel that's what it was.
Yeah, and obviously, the final few minutes of that game, can you just sort of sum up what was going through your head? Obviously, it's hard to keep a level head when you've, you know, just produced a pass like that, and it's probably one of the best moments of your entire season. But what was the final few minutes like?
When we had the ball, I was doing a lot of shouting because the middle's doing a lot of faffing. I knew that we had one more defensive set to do, so I was just concentrating on putting all my effort into that and just wanting to not let them get anywhere near our try line, I think. And then when that kick went up, I just wanted to sprint there as quick as I can to get around the ball, and luckily it plopped in our hands and we managed to see the game out. But then that feeling when Marshy was standing up to play the ball and we knew it was all over was just brilliant, just knowing that we'd achieve what we wanted to do.
And just backtracking a little bit, I think any of you will sort of admit the first sort of 20-25 minutes just was not like yourselves. Obviously there was a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
What was said at half time to sort of calm you down? Because obviously 2 minutes into the second half, you've put yourselves ahead. So what was said at half time?
I think there was just a calmity by the coaches and the players, knowing that we'd played that bad that we couldn't probably do it again. And that just to settle down and get back to the game plan that we spoke about doing, and obviously cutting the errors out and the penalties. And I feel once we did that, obviously in the second half, a play that we'd spoke about comes off, and once we just stuck to the game plan, we managed to get our foothold in the game and was getting on top. So yeah, it was just the calmity of we know we can't do that bad again, and just get back to the game plan that we spoke about.
And we can't mention the final without talking about your try. That must have been some feeling. That ball pops into your hands and you've got to clear up for the try line. That must have been some feeling for you.
Yeah, brilliant. Again, some in game plan that we spoke about. And one, like I said before, when we did that, stuff started to happen. So yeah, brilliant offload by Morgan. That's my job to push and get on offloads of our big forwards. And yeah, once I got the ball, I just knew I had to go a bit left and he won't be able to get near me. So yeah, just being able to do that in front of my family in such a big game was massive.
Mm-hmm. And Josh touched it before, the try just after half time, Jai and Bevan, just how quick are those two? Have they had a race in training?
No, they've not had a race in training, but they are different levels in speed. I think I think Jay's just a little bit faster over that 100 metres, but Bevan, in nippiness, is just electric. And yeah, I think I watched the game back and commentary said if we didn't have Jay, he wouldn't be able to catch up with Bevan or vice versa. So yeah, just their speed's really good for us and something that we try and use and try and get them in plenty of space possible to create the chances that they did and score tries, basically. Yeah.
What's it been like this season playing alongside Jay, especially how good he's been? Is it effectively just getting the ball in open space and he's gone?
Yeah, Jay's been brilliant this year and brought a different level to his game. And you could say that with the fullback role, that's the way the game's going. You've got to try and get them the space to finish off the tries, get the assist, score themselves. So yeah, you could say that's part of the plan, but there's obviously different stuff that goes into it to get him the ball. But it's not the be-all end all because we have a lot of attacking threats, but at the end of the day, yeah, especially as my job as a halfback, it's to get the people ball at the right times in the right space. So yeah, I think yeah, it's part of it.
Mm-hmm. Obviously Jay had a bad injury last season. Was it like having a new signing this season, the way he came in? Because obviously he got injured in the first game last year. Has it been like having a new signing?
Yeah, definitely. Like you could say, like it was literally, he's like as if he's a brand new signing this year. Like we were obviously disappointed that he got his injury last year, and it was like as if no one really knew what to expect from him. And I feel the way his mentality and the way he's come back from that in this year's pre-season, you just... Everyone just was having a look around at each other going, this lad's a good player. And for him to be able to back that up week in, week out at the start of the season then, and what he's been doing is just credit to him and his mentality. So, yeah.
One player I just want to touch on is Liam Farrell. Just how good is he? How consistent every game is he?
Yeah, he's a brilliant player and has been for many years. Like you said, it's just that consistency. You just know what you're going to get from him week in, week out. And again, like with the Tommy situation, it sort of brings, you could say, a calmity to the team that you know there's someone there that's going to be there and turn up and do his job, and you got not thinking twice about what he's going to do. So Yeah, there's so many players in our team that are doing that at the minute, and hopefully it can continue.
Mm-hmm. And we look ahead this weekend, Castleford away, a tough trip to the Menahose Jungle. How are you looking forward to that?
Yeah, again, like the question before about stadiums, that's another stadium with a great atmosphere when that's full. The fans really feel like they're on top of you. And it's a challenge that we spoke about in training, that we're one where we need to show up and get the win. I think there was someone said the start of something like in the last 10 wins, something like two teams only won the game after, something like that. And mm-hmm. we want to be part of that, them two teams, and go and put in a good performance and get the win, yeah.
As I've been spoken about then in the camp, the fact that everyone really says, if you win the Challenge Cup, the next game you're going to lose. Has that been the motivation this week?
Yeah, it's not been, that's not like the be all and end all, but it's been mentioned that we want to be a great club and a great team, and great teams win when people don't expect you to. So that's something that we're trying to build on, and something that we didn't do early on in the season, but something that we want to do this weekend and kickstart the season again, and let's not go downwards, we build and go up from here.
Mm-hmm. And looking ahead to the end of the season as a whole, is England in the back of your head?
No, I've not really thought that far ahead. But obviously, you know, the World Cup's coming up and it'd be great to be a part of that. But I'm just knowing that if I can keep playing well, putting performances out, that maybe something could happen. But you just never know. But something that can hopefully maybe happen, you just got to control what you can control and then go from there.
Mm-hmm. You're still very young. Are you kind of a long-term goals or a short-term goals kind of player?
A bit of both, really, but I feel you can only do long-term goals if you achieve some short-term goals. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I'd probably say you got to do the little things and the short-term goals if you want to achieve the big ones.
Mm-hmm. As we come towards the end of the podcast, I'd like to introduce a segment called the Rugby League Sevens, I call. So it's basically a sevens team from players you've played with. So it can be academy days, now, last season, whenever you've played with them on the field, you can include them.
Yeah.
Are you in your sevens team or are you coaching it?
I don't think I could leave myself out. I'd get to get too high rate not being able to get on there and do something. So I think I'd have to put myself in there.
So who's your team then?
It's got to be a certain amount of forwards and backs, because
it's your team. You can choose whatever you want. Your team.
Well, if it's only seven aside, I think you got to have Jay and Bevan. I think I'd go George Williams.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go Liam Farrell. How many is that? Is that five?
Two more, yeah.
Two more.
He's some big guys.
I know, yeah.
He's got the fitness for it.
I know, that's what you got to think. I'd go Morgan Smithies, and I'd go, who's someone a bit different? Someone out there. Who did I play with in this team? I'll go Joe Greenwood for someone a bit different, because he's big.
Mm-hmm. Strong team, it's a strong team.
Yeah, it's not too bad. I'm just hoping my speed gets the win, I think.
Is Matt Pete your coach, or is it someone else?
Oh, I'll go Lee Bray's head coach, Matty Pete assistant, I'll go.
Ah, mixing up a bit.
Yeah, change it up.
Mm-hmm. So, no, this weekend you've got Castleford. Looking at the season as a whole, is it maintaining your spot and consistently performing as you're performing now?
Yeah, definitely. As any sportsman or in a team sport, you want to play week in, week out. So yeah, definitely is to keep improving, keep playing well and holding my spot and getting wins for the team, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And just a couple of questions to finish off. One I always put to a player is, who's one player you don't look forward to playing against? You know you're going to be in a tough afternoon.
There's a lot of good players around at the minute who mm-hmm. have got some threats. Ooh. not that I don't look forward to playing to him, but I'll say Chris Sata is probably one of the biggest humans mm-hmm. I've played against. So I'll go with him because he's just a very big athlete.
And then on the other side, who's one player you'd love to have in your team to love to play with?
Oh, that I've never played with.
Yeah, use one player. It could be anywhere for anyone.
Oh, that's a good one.
If you want, we can do one in the NRL and one in Super League.
NRL, I think I'd probably have to go with either Trbojevic or Tedesco. And then Super League. Oh, that's a tough one. I'll go. Oh, no. Who's going to go? I'll go Johnny Lomax. He's a great player. I'll go Johnny Lomax.
Mm-hmm. Well, Harry, that's everything from us. We really appreciate you coming on the podcast. We wish you the best of luck for this weekend and obviously the rest of the season. So cheers for joining us, mate.
Oh, perfect. Thanks a lot, guys. Cheers.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, mate.